بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Respected friends and elders, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, the 25th juz of Quran was recited. And there were many pertinent verses that can be discussed in tonight's tafsir. For example, in Surah Shura, Surah number 42, Ayat number 19. الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز. The ulama explain that a person who is experiencing difficulty in his livelihood, somebody who has debts maybe to settle, or he is just experiencing difficulty in his sustenance and rizq, then this ayah, reciting this ayah 70 times every morning at the time of Fajr, is very, very effective and beneficial. الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز. So this is ayat number 19 in surah 42 to be recited 70 times every morning for ease inshallah in our livelihood and sustenance. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah mentions the ni'mat of children. يخلق ما يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever He wishes. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows for whomsoever He wishes daughters, and for whomsoever He wishes He bestows them with sons. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pairs them up, in other words Allah gives them sons and daughters. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite wisdom, whomsoever He wishes, He leaves them barren, in other words, without children. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is fully aware. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who to bestow, what to bestow to whom. So this is solely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person has only daughters, and he feels to himself, then why no sons? This is on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what was decreed for him from the side of Allah. Some have only sons and no daughters and are yearning for the daughters. Some have got no children at all. This is all from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzah in this verse establishes that and explains it. And that this was, the Mufassirun explained that this was the condition of different Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Some of them Allah blessed with daughters like Nabi Lut alayhi salam. Some of them Allah blessed with sons only. Ibrahim alayhi salam, some Allah blessed with both like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some Allah did not give them any children. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, who are the chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have among them those who only had daughters, those who only had sons, those who had both sons and daughters, and some who had no children, even Allah's closest bondsmen. Some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not grant them children. So this is there actually as a consolement for us, the rest of mankind. Thereafter, in Surah Zukhruf, after Surah Shura comes Surah Zukhruf in the 25th Juz, there is a very, very significant ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights relationships that we have and friendships that we have in the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. All friends and all buddies, you know, and all companions, بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. On the day of Qiyamah, they will turn into enemies against each other. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. But those who had taqwa. But those whose friendship was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those whose friendship benefited each other in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you had a friendship solely for worldly gain, even if it may be permissible gain, if your friendship was only for worldly entertainment and fun, then on the day of Qiyamah, that very same friend of yours will turn against you and become your enemy. So the only real worthwhile friendship is the friendship that we have with the pious, good friends who influence us towards good. And under this ayah, the many mufassirun mention a riwayah of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, wherein he mentions an example of two sets of friends. One are friends who were sinners, disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe even disbelievers. So naturally, they used to influence each other towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other set were of two friends who were believers and upright believers and used to influence each other towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the good friend passes away, the believing friend, when one of them passes away and he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ruh goes up to Allah and he sees the great rewards in store for him in the akhirah for being obedient to Allah, then he remembers his friend of the dunya, that friend of his that used to invite him, encourage him towards good. To relate it to our lives, that friend, for example, who used to maybe pick him up for salah and bring him in the morning for fajr, that friend who used to pick him up and bring him for taraweeh, that friend who used to accompany him and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that friend who used to join him and go to the Haramain and Umrah together, that friend that used to take him or be with him and attend the majalis and the gatherings of the ulama, this person in the akhirah who reaches first, he remembers that friend of his. And he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Ya Rabbi, O my Rabb, إِنَّ فُلَانًا كَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي بِطَاعَتِكَ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِكَ. Certain person, taking his name, he used to instruct me to be obedient to you, to be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would guide me towards the path of righteousness. كَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي بِالْخَيْرِ وَيَنْهَانِي عَنِ الشَّرِّ. He used to always give me good advice. And he would stop me from bad and wrong. Ya Rabbi fala tudhi wa yukhbiruni anni mulaqik. And he used to remind me that one day we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day we have to stand in front of Allah. Oh Allah, do not allow him to be misled after I have left the dunya. Don't allow him to be misguided. Keep him upon hidayat. Wa akrimhu kama akramtani. And oh Allah, when he dies, then honor him like you have honored me. And then eventually when that second friend passes away and he comes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Rabbul Izzah unites them in the alamul arwah. Allah subhanahu in the barzakh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites them in the next world. And then he tells them, now praise each other. Or what do you have to say about each other? And then each one praises the other and he says, ni'ma al-akhu kan, wa ni'ma al-sadiqu kan, wa ni'ma al-qarinu kan. What an excellent brother, friend and companion you are. And on the other hand, when the disbelieving friend, the sinning friend, from the pair of sinning friends, one of them dies, and his soul goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sees the adab in store for him, the humiliation in store for him in the akhirah, then he too doesn't forget that friend of his in the dunya who influenced him towards the path of wrong and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, he also makes dua and he says, Ya Rabbi, inna fulanan kana yanhani an ta'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. I had a certain friend in the dunya and he used to actually stop me from being obedient to you and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana ya'muruni bi sharri wa yanhani anil khair. He used to instruct me to do bad things. He would influence me for the wrong and he would stop me from doing good. To relate it to our lives, that if I was coming to the masjid, he would say, no, come and join us around the corner. And through him, I missed my salah. Long weekends came, then he influenced me and took me to parties and took me to places where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking place. Or in the business place, this friend of mine convinced me to do other wrong and to take out loans and bonds, interest-bearing loans and bonds. Or he influenced me towards other haram and other wrong. Oh Allah, la tahdihi min ba'di. Don't give him hidayat. He begins to curse this friend of his. That don't allow him to be guided. Keep him upon misguidance. And let him die upon misguidance. And oh Allah, wa ahinhu kama ahantani. Humiliate him and punish him. After he dies, like you have done to me. And then when that second friend also dies and goes to the akhirat, Allah will unite them and pair them up. Then Allah will say, what do you have to say regarding each other? And then each one will curse that. And he will say, بِئْسَ الصَّدِيقُ كَانْ وَبِئْسَ الْأَخُ كَانْ وَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينُ كَانْ. What an evil friend, brother and companion you are. So, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Friends will become enemies to each other if they were friends for everything else besides the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately today there are so many such friends that we have, whether it be in the real world or the virtual world, friends that are influencing us towards the disobedience of Allah, towards haram, towards sin, towards vice. Whether it be those who are influencing our children, the friends of our children, friends of the grown-ups as well. You're sitting in your circle of friends and one is bragging about his extramarital relationship. He's bragging about it. At first people will laugh at him and tell him, there's something wrong with you, why are you engaging wrong? And then slowly, slowly it becomes normal. And then a second person in the group is now influenced. And he also ends up in an extramarital relationship. Then the third one is feeling odd. He also starts looking, that how can I also catch some fish like this, na'uzubillah. And then he is also influenced towards haram. Friends are sitting in the business place and one is bragging about the big business deal that he has just tied up. But how did you manage to do that? No, I got a loan from the bank. I rebonded my house or I rebonded a certain property of mine. And he took out a haram loan, an interest-bearing loan. But because you are his friend, you're not thinking about the haram part. You are seeing that he looks like he is progressing. And through that, you also get affected. You start thinking about the same. And then gradually you end up in the same wrong. Friends like that, respected friends and elders, we have to shun. Friends like that, you have to avoid. We are not saying you should cut off ties completely and do not talk and do not make salam, etc. But do not keep those kind of friends as your in your inner circle and your close circle. If they are influencing you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on the day of Qiyamah, each one will curse the other. Each one will blame the other. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا مَنْ قَدَّمَ لَنَا هَذَا فَزِدْهُ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا مِنَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give double punishment to that person who was the cause. The one who influenced us, the one who showed us this haram loophole. Oh Allah, give him double adab. This kind of conversation about people blaming each other in Quran is repeated. 23rd juz of Quran, 22nd juz as well, and other places of Quran, where each one will be blaming the other. قَالَ لِكُلِّنْ ضِعْفٌ. Allah will say, all of you will get double azab. All. You are blaming him, he is blaming you. All are deserving, equally deserving of the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no, pasting blame on the other and blaming somebody else so that the adab may be lessened from myself. Allah protect us. No, we all are answerable for our deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we took wrong influence in this dunya, then we are to blame for that. We have to take that precaution. How many a times we have seen, how many homes have broken because of a person being wrongly influenced by his friend? How many homes are in turmoil because the children have been wrongly influenced and the children have been taken off track? Respected friends and elders, we have to keep this check. We have to know where our children are, who are their friends, who are they mixing with, and accordingly advise them. If they are mixing in wrong company, we've got to take steps now before it becomes too late. And like I'm saying, in the real world as well as the virtual world. And together with our children, we ourselves have to watch, who are we being influenced by? Who are the people that are fashioning our thinking and our preferences in life? Are we taking our ideologies from the masjid, from the ta'aleem, from the ulama, or are we taking it from friends outside? And is that influence good or bad? How am I being influenced on the internet? How am I being influenced via social media? On the day of Qiyamah, many such friends who we might say, are thick as thieves, or who are very, very close friends in this dunya. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will suffer complete regret as to why. Why was this person my friend? The reason is that friend does not only influence you, for example. Many a youngster. Recently in Turkey, they released some statistics about smoking. Smoking is a very big issue in that country. The young, the old, the men, the women. Mother and daughter will smoke together. That's how normal it has become. So they did a survey as to why do the youth start smoking. Majority of them were because their friends were smoking. Just because their friends were smoking, they also, and that's normal, that's in our situation, in our country as well. So on one hand, we have, alhamdulillah, so many pious people, So it doesn't have to be a great alim. Doesn't have to be a big buzruk. A normal upright Muslim. MashaAllah is a 5 times daily namazi. He's earning an honest livelihood. He's an upright and straight person. Befriend people like that. So having friends in this dunya, they would influence us in one way. For example, some bad habit, smoking for the youngsters. Or introducing him to some girl, Allah forbid. Or some other wrong. As elders, friends may influence us into other forms of haram. It's not just a habit or two. That's where it starts. Being influenced and peer pressure doesn't only result in a person picking up one bad habit. Sometimes that one bad habit is bad enough. But it continues and continues until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually mentions in the hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif, Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. A time will come that because of a man's friend, he will give up his religion also. That's what a great effect friendship has. Peer pressure has that kind of an effect on people. That not just one wrong and one bad habit, but one to another, when finally a person sometimes will be prepared to even give up his religion. Don't we see in our own homes, sometimes the time comes when a person is reprimanding his child, his son, his daughter, that why are you so glued, for example, to social media, and we need you to come off this or give us your phone. Because they cannot remain in contact with their friends, they are prepared to leave the house also. It's fine, I'll leave the house. He wants to leave his house, leave his parents, leave his comforts, not thinking far enough. Why? Because that pull, that attraction of that online friend is so much, he sees value to nothing else around him. The most valuable thing to him is that friendship and maintaining that relationship. So to maintain that relationship, he is prepared to give up his home, prepared to break ties with his parents and leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that even worse than that, a man because of his friends and to keep up that relationship with his friend would be prepared to give up his religion and his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. In the 19th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to one such example. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were two close friends in Makkah, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt and Umayyah ibn Khalaf. The habit of the Arabs, when they used to go out on journey, and in Makkah they lived on imports, so they used to go to Yemen, rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf. In summer they used to go to Sham, Syria, and buy goods from there and come and sell it in Makkah. And in the winter they used to go to Yemen and buy goods from there and come and sell it in Makkah. So the traders used to keep traveling. When they used to return, then it was their habit to throw a feast. So Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt had returned from one of his travels, and he invited the notables of Makkah, the respectable people of Makkah, and among them was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he told him, I refuse to partake of your food until you don't recite the Shahada. If you accept Islam, then I will partake of your food. Uqba, like many of the Meccans, internally they were convinced that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true messenger of Allah. But again, he told, it was the outer pressure or the pride that prevented many of them from accepting and believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Uqba then recited the kalima and recited the shahada. And Rasulullah ﷺ partook of the meal, and then that became the news of the town. In the meantime, his friend Umayyah ibn Khalaf was away. He was out of Makkah. When he returned, he heard of this. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf was also a staunch enemy of Islam and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he harmed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on many occasions. He was a staunch enemy. So he could not take this. And he told his friend, who was his close friend, Uqba. He told Uqba, from today I have nothing to do with you. Our relationship is terminated. Until, na'udhu billah, you give up the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, he didn't stop there. He says, na'udhu billah, you must go and spit on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of the pressure of his friend, this peer pressure, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt goes and does this despicable deed. So in response to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses of Surah Furqan. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. On the day of Qiyamah, that zalim, that oppressor, meaning Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd, he is going to be biting on his hands. وَيُوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ Biting out of regret. يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا If only I took up the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If only, in other words, I remained a Muslim. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا He will regret and say, Oh, destruction be upon me. Woe be to me. Why did I take so and so as my friend? لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي He misguided me from guidance after guidance came to me. Uqba had accepted Islam. He was a Muslim. But to please his friend, he was misled and he renegated and became murtad and he gave up the deen of Islam. Ulama explained this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in response to that incident. But, al-ibratu bi'umumi al-lafzi, la bi-khususi al-mawrid. This applies to every other such case in the dunya. And these cases will keep repeating themselves till our present day and age. There are many people who on the day of Qiyamah will regret being the friend of a certain person because of him being wrongly influenced. And unfortunately today, we have so much of online influences. There are people who have the title, he is an influencer. And that's his job. Online, that's how he makes money. Or that's how she makes money. By influencing people, they are online and social media influencers. This is a new job title. So there is limitless influence, respected friends, and Allah is online today. Therefore, to save ourselves, to save our children, our akhlaq, our dignity, our chastity, and ultimately to save and protect our iman, it is important that we do not take influence from these people. Our guidance and our deen has come from Rasulullah, from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our way of life has been set out over 1400 years ago. And it is the most perfect way of life. If you want to take influence, then be influenced by the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let your influences in your life be the imam on the minbar. Let it be some spiritual guide, some shaykh. Let it be being out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let yourself be influenced by that, by good company. Because bad company will always have a bad effect. Good company always has a good effect. Sahib, khiyar an-nasi tanju musallama. Keep the company of the good people and you will be safe and secure in this world and akhirat. Wa sahib shirar an-nasi yawman fatandama. The Arab poet says, that if you had keep bad company even for one day also, you will regret. One day bad company will be a source of regret. If not in this dunya, then undoubtedly on the day of Qiyamah, that why did I allow myself to be influenced by that company? Such is the effect of company. And again, company, you know, we say the company you are is the company you keep. The company you keep physically, and more importantly today, virtually. You are reading the posts on Twitter, on Facebook, or viewing things on YouTube and TikTok, etc., most of which are even haram, most of which, you know, have haram pictures, most of which have music which is haram, etc. But the people who are creating those content, the people that are creating that content, are enemies of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To put it crudely, respected friends and allies, but just for us to understand, sometimes I even mention to our children, I say, don't let those people influence you. These are people who don't even know how to make istinja properly. They don't even know how to make istinja. And you want to take influence of your life, how you must look, how you must dress, what you must buy, what must be the trend, what must be your fashion, from people like that. Our deen is complete and perfect. So the effect of bad company is even more clearly illustrated in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَمَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ السُّءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ The example of a good companion and a bad companion is like a musk seller, a perfume seller, and a blacksmith. حَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ A perfume smeller. A perfume seller. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the benefit of that, if you are with him, if you are in good company, is like you are sitting next to a perfume seller. The benefit of that is either he will give you a tester, or you will buy that fragrance from him. You will get tempted, you get influenced, or bare minimum is while you are there, you will enjoy a good fragrance. And bad company is like sitting next to a blacksmith. That while you are there, it's possible that the sparks might burn your clothing, or that soot and smoke will come and mess your clothing, and the bare minimum is you will get that foul smell while you are there that might even come onto you. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liken the effect of companionship, whether it be good or bad, why did he liken the effect of companionship to a fragrance, a smell? He says, because the smell is there, he says, because the effect of companionship is guaranteed, even though you may not be able to see it immediately. Like a fragrance, like smell, you can't see it, but you can sense it, you can perceive it, it's there. The same is the effect of companionship, whether it's good company or bad company. The effect will always be there, even if you cannot see it immediately, but it will definitely have an effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding that these relationships that we develop in our life are actually fashioning our, you know, our end. Those that they are, these relationships are fashioning our outlook towards life. Therefore it is important, like we take guard regarding everything else, where we sense danger. You sense there could be danger in the country we are living in, so then you take, you know, you beef up your security. Initially 20, 30 years ago, we never even had fences. We never had gates, front gates maybe also. It was just a door, which used to remain open till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Everything was safe 20, 30 years ago. Then as the crime increased, then there were gates put added, in a front door gate. Then there's a fence that is put around the house. Then there is a driveway gate. And the garage door also is locked. Before a person has to leave, he has to come out like he's coming out from prison. See, one door, then one gate, then the garage door, then the driveway gate, and then he's out. All of that has been taken. And then now you have alarm systems, and then the CCTV camera, and then all other sophisticated ways of securing yourself. Why? Because we sense danger. We sense the danger, therefore we take the precaution. And rightly so. Similarly, this is great danger and a great threat to our safety, security spiritually, to our akhlaq and character, to our dignity, to our chastity, and ultimately a threat to our iman, which is the greatest commodity that we have. Therefore, we ought to take precaution there as well. And immediately start deleting those contacts on our phones. Those contacts that are influencing us towards haram. Immediately delete that app which is there for me to consume only haram and to engage only in haram. Delete it so it doesn't distract you. It may be difficult at the beginning, one day, 2 days, but once you fill up that vacuum with something else, inshallah you will forget about it. But immediately, respected friends and others, the time is now for us to delete these people and these contacts from our lives, to save and protect ourselves and protect our dignity and protect our family and children. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah.